That's nice.
Come on. Seriously. Come on.
That's, you don't have to learn that.
Every week when I do my weekly review, I update them. So the sales we had last week, you know, how many new customers, how many new users, like all these things, how many new podcast listeners. Thank you very much. So...
Hello, I'm Radek.
I'm Michael.
And this is The Podcast.
A sounding board for interesting ideas and insights. We discuss books to read I want to share with you.
As well as technology and productivity, which is what we do by day, working on our app, Nozbe.
Or whatever else comes to mind.
So today is one of the books episodes. Anyone listening to the show knows that we like to discuss a lot of books and what we learn from them. Try to share ideas from it. But we also discussed on a few episodes a lot of meta things around books. We shared why we read a lot and our stories with books, like how we came to where we are now. We discussed how to read a lot of books and recommend it to everyone who's having trouble with finding time to read lots of books to try audiobooks, which worked for both of us really well. And we also discussed why to take notes, book notes, and how to take notes to remember more of books. But there's a thing that I want to discuss and I want to figure out better myself, which is that it's not enough to just read a lot. Like we read not just for pleasure and not only out of sheer curiosity, but a lot of the things we read because we want to learn something. We want to make our lives better in some way by taking advantage of the advice of people who thought about a problem a lot more than we did. And so the thing I want to figure out is, how do you leap from reading to doing? How do you turn your reading into action?
Yeah, so the obvious answer is it depends. Because some books have more tangible answers or like to-do lists or actionable, you know, conclusions. Other books are more like they inspire you to think about something, but nothing really tangible, nothing really concrete like to act on now. Mm-hmm. Other books are just, you know, fun to just learn about things and about a different kind of, you know, world out there. So they expand your horizons. So it all depends. But recently, what I've discovered is that we've had a streak of several books that prompted me to action almost right away after reading them.
Yeah, I agree. I read a lot of books just out of intellectual curiosity over the last year in particular, and that's fine. But I feel like it's also easy to read books which try to teach you something and give you some actionable advice. But if you're not careful, like it just becomes, you know, intellectual stimulation. You're just doing something. You know, you're just nodding your head as you read along, you know, when you see something smart, but then you neglect to actually implement it in your life. So it's very easy to read only superficially, even if the goal at the outset was to read it to actually learn something. But if you're just, you know, reading through the book without anything else, then you'll remember some things, and sometimes you'll remember to change something about your behavior, for example, but you're going to miss out on a lot of details which were important, but just without a deliberate approach to reading books like that, it's just going to fall out of your head, you'll forget it, and you'll do nothing.
What we also mentioned previously in our chats about books is that very often an idea will make impact in your life after a while. That you need to
that's true.
Listen to an idea first, then in a different book you listen to the same idea but from a different perspective, and then there's a third book that mentions this idea but also with a different example, and then suddenly the thing clicks, you know? Like sometimes it just takes more time for the thing to just sink in and to provoke the impact. And so it's really good, like in our case, to read a few books and not just one, and this one will just define your life forever, but read a few books and then really arrive at this moment where you've got like the information clicked, the information is there, and it prompts you to act now, because now you have a broader perspective and you know what to do to really like change your life.
Yeah, I agree. When I was preparing for this episode, I was doing some research, and I read a few articles about reading books on Farnham Street, which, by the way, is an amazing blog and y'all should read it. And anyway, there's this article, How to Read a Book, and it shows kind of four levels of reading a book, which would be elementary, inspectional, analytical, and syntopical. And that fourth level, the deep end of like reading a book really seriously, is the work of reading multiple books on a similar subject and comparing them to try to synthesize something out of that. And you know, perhaps without doing it that deliberately as that fourth level, I also find that reading multiple books on a similar subject is very helpful. You're going to see connections and little facts you haven't just noticed before. And both when reading for curiosity and for reading something that is supposed to, that you're supposed to learn from, it's very useful to have multiple takes on something similar or multiple opinions on the subject.
You know, you have to have a mindset for something to really like substantially change your life or change the way you approach things. And this mindset will not be developed overnight. You know, you read one paragraph in a book and I'm like, yeah, this is the thing. No, it takes time. Also, that's why it's good that we try to not read like the same books, like the same type of books one after another, but we alternate between different books, different types of books, and then we come back to the subject again and come over. Like, this is really important because now browsing through the book list that I have here in front of my eyes of the books I've read this year and previous year and the previous years, I see how this worked, and then I see the moments, like the points where I acted on this issue, on this thing, you know, when the moment, yeah, like the inflection point where I started really acting on the advice, which already was presented to me like a half a year ago or a year ago, but you know, but it how I arrived at this moment when it just worked.
Yeah, which reminds me of something I read from Jason Fried, I think. I think it was actually Clay Christensen who said that. It was something like, questions are places in your brain where answers fit. And the idea is that if you don't answer the right questions, like you can see the answer, but it has nowhere to go and it bounces off your head, right? And that makes a lot of sense. Like that should be obvious, but like if you're not really interested in learning an answer, or if you haven't looked at just the question you're asking the right way, you can read really smart and useful things on the subject, but it's just not going to click, right? It just won't make the same impact. So if you recommend a book to someone and they haven't you know, hit the point in their lives where they were like interested in that particular thing, it might just not work.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that from my note taking about books when this inflection point hits, because as you advised me, you know, that every after each listening session, like when we listen to audiobooks, to write down notes from what I just heard, I very often just take notes of what I just heard. But when there is this idea, I think the inflection point hits, I not only write down what I just heard, but I write down ideas of how this can be applied to my life. And then I realize that this is the moment when something is getting tangible, is getting there. And I start writing down the ideas and make bullet points of things. And then, like, suddenly my head goes really spinning. And this means that, okay, I found something that, you know, that this is the moment. This is the moment to act on it.
Yeah, so you mentioned two very important things. First of all, I think the note-taking process itself is extremely important. You won't do it with every book. Like, again, sometimes you just read something out of curiosity or for pleasure, that's fine. But if you really want to learn something from a book, it's important to really take notes. And take notes not after you read the book, because then you'd forget half of the important nuance, but while you read. So after every session of listening or reading, you write down notes. You write down what you remember and how it like applies to you and also in general. But you have to engage in the reading of the book. You can't just do it passively, because then you might exercise your memory, and that's fine, but it probably won't affect you. It probably won't change you.
Well, so that's why, you know, I'm really quite religious right now about note taking after I read audiobooks.
That's good.
I'm also reading some other people's notes. Recently, I discovered a website also by Derek Sievers, the same guy who's been interviewed by me, and who has this Now page, which I also have, that he has a very good also site with his book notes. So it's really cool to view his book notes. So
I got the idea to share the books I read and my notes from him, and also a few good titles from him. So
all right,
he was inspiration.
All right. So I'm totally also using his website to also search for new books to read, and also I'm reading his notes. So what happens is that there is this review process that I'm right now trying to get into. That I would, you know, my idea for this year is to publish a weekly blog post of a book, you know, of my notes from a book, just like you do. Mm-hmm. You put your notes there. This way I will be forced to review my notes, check out your notes on the book if you read the same one, and check Derek's notes or some other, you know, Amazon notes of some other people, and then just to have a big picture and to just get back to the title again. And then just, you know, write it down in one blog post. So this is something, for example, this is like this review phase that I want to be engaged in, because as we discussed, we read, you know, around 30 books a year. So it's really useful first to take notes right after you've read it. But then after a few days or weeks, you know, get back to the book, you know, compile the notes again and put them somewhere.
Yeah, I agree. So definitely take notes, preferably not after you read, but while you read. So after every session, engage with the book. What I do is like I take just short, simple notes after every session, but then I go through the notes and I rewrite them. So I synthesize like a blog post, so that it makes more sense. It's coherent and it takes time. But it's not supposed to be easy, right? So I don't do it with every book, but with the books I really want to learn from, I rewrite it and it takes some time, but I engage with the information, like I restructure it so it makes more sense to me. And that's the part of the learning process. And also we talk about those things, about those ideas on the show, which is also part of the learning process. And we discussed this before. But I also wanted to point out something interesting you said, which is that while note-taking is important in understanding the information and really remembering it, it's still, like, even if it's actionable to you, it's I think, very useful to do it explicitly. So, like, when you see things which are in particular useful to you, like something, oh, I should do this, or, you know, I should be more like that, just write it down, like literally make this explicit in your notes that, hey, this thing is not just interesting and like part of the argument of the book, but this is something directly relevant to you. And actually, I would take a step further. What I recently started doing with some books, which have a lot of those things, I literally make a project in Husby.
Oh, wow.
So like, If there's a book which has a lot of like very concrete actionable things that I have to do, or like research something more on a subject, like more than one or two things, I make a project and I might make a task for each of those things. And then here's the key point: you incorporate all of this into your weekly review routine.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. And so, like, you don't just read the book, but after you do that, like, if you already have a process of doing a weekly review, which is like this feedback loop for life, that's a good point to review the actionable parts from the book and think what to do with them. Are they just like tasks to get done, or is there something for you to do more research? Is there should you like make a metric for it? Like, do you need to start tracking something, or should this become part of your goals for the year? So you would modify your yearly plan, as we discussed 2 weeks ago, or if you do make a project, if there's a like multiple tasks to get done after you know, actionable items from the book, then it's also useful from the perspective of the weekly review, because you already have a process that you know you will review these things regularly, so that you won't just forget them. So you have a feedback loop that makes you engage with those ideas further every week.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. No, but as you said, I mean, I want to repeat that. Really, sometimes when you read something, a thought comes to, you know, comes you know, running your way, that mm-hmm. You have to do something about. It can be like vaguely even sometimes related to the book, but the book kind of, you know, hit something, you know, and it's really important to write it down. I can't emphasize it enough. I've had a few of these moments recently, and after that, as you said, I did a similar thing. I put them in a few tasks as comments, you know, in Nosby, then reviewed them, and then I applied them almost immediately. So it's important to catch these moments, because for me also reading a book is a moment of contemplation. It's a moment of kind of of meditating, of thinking about stuff. So very often I read about a subject, and you know, while I'm reading, I'm also thinking about the subject from all the knowledge that I have about the subject, you know. So this comes all, you know, together at this moment.
Yeah, what I often find myself doing, and this is I think more natural when reading a book versus listening to an audiobook, but what I often do is like I'm listening to a book, I'm outside, maybe taking a walk or something like that, and like there's this like a really interesting, insightful fragment, and oftentimes I'm just like, whoa, I stop it. And then like for like 5 or 10 minutes, I'm trying to process this, because it's like, it's a lot, and I have to like think this through, not just, you know, not just continue and not just let it be another thing that the book said, but like, I have to process it right now, because this seems relevant to me.
Did you have moments like you would rewind back to listen to it like twice or three times?
Yeah, I do. Admittedly, it's a bit more annoying during the winter.
Yeah,
which it's not a problem you have in Spain, but here, like today, it's I think -5 Celsius. So like it's more difficult to manipulate an audiobook when you're like in your winter coat and your winter gloves. It's hard to like stop and rewind, but yeah, definitely I would do that sometimes.
Yeah, I do that quite often, like as you said, whether there's a meaningful thing, and I also pause a few times as well. You're totally right. I just, you know, when there's something meaningful, that's true. Mm-hmm.
There's a few fonts I wanted to share, and then maybe we'll share some concrete examples of like books we read and then what we did about it. But anyway, as for notes, one important thing, which I think we mentioned in the past, but it's really important. Part of the reason why it's important to take notes if you want to learn from a book is that you can get to it later. So it's a summary of the book, but it's a summary you wrote, and so you can much easier remember all the nuance that's hiding behind your short note. So what's worth doing is every now and then, maybe you can do it, I don't know, monthly or maybe as part of your quarterly review, look at the list of your book notes and like see if there's some books which you know were very important to you, but maybe you're not sure if you truly applied them, but you want to. Like it's a good habit to review your notes from time to time, because reading them after a while can unleash new insights, and also you can notice things which you learned about and you thought were important, so you made notes of them, but then you forgot to actually learn from it. And so it's important to keep a check on yourself like that.
Yeah, totally. You know, we've mentioned here on this episode the importance on feedback loops, you know, quarterly offsites and everything. But as you said, incorporate these is really crucial. That's why I also now take more care of my reading page. So the one that I when I put links to the books that I've read and notes and things like that, to really appreciate more what I've just read and to really later get and to enforce myself to get back to these things, and hopefully this year post more, you know, coherent blog posts about each book, because especially now that a few of them clicked and helped me make meaningful change, I want to share it. I want to share how this impacted my life.
Two ideas I got from Farnham Street, which I haven't really tried before, but I'm going to. So I'm just going to share it. One is he suggests to first like skim through a book. So that's obviously very difficult to do with an audio version. But if you are reading a book, like maybe you have it like in your hand, maybe it's a paper book, then if you can see like it's probably going to be important to like first skim through it. So see like what it's about. See the first page of every chapter. And that gives you a few things. First of all, it primes your brain, because you can understand the book better if you already know what the point is going to be. Like you have the context. And second of all, if you're like skimming through a book, maybe in a bookstore, which is, wow, a bookstore, I haven't been to one in a long time.
Yeah.
But if you are in one, like you can spend half an hour doing a good skim for a book and decide if it's worth continuing to read, and so like you can get the basics and not waste time, you know, many hours on a book which might not be that important after all. And second idea is he suggests that if and only if the book was really outstanding, and I know I read a few books like that last year, after you read it, give it some time, like a week or two, and reread it. Like, why not? Like, if it was so outstanding, then you are going to get a lot of value from the second read. There's a lot of things you will have missed the first time around. But after you know the whole idea, then there's a lot of nuance that you'll see. Which is like, I don't know, like watching a movie or a good TV series for the second time. And you already know where the plot is going. And so because of that, you see all the details, which are now obvious to you, but weren't before.
Yeah, it applies to movies very well. I remember a few that I like. And then the books, you know, like just mentioning like the essentialism, we mentioned it several times. I heard it twice. So I did twice the audiobook, and now I'm going through the paper version because it was one of the outstanding books recently. So I wanted, you know, to have really all the nuance there and really apply what Greg is saying in this book.
And also, I've never actually done it, but here's a random idea. After you read, for example, on paper, a really good book, then maybe the second time around, you could listen to an audio version. Or if you're bilingual, like the two of us, you could read it in another language. And like that's another perspective into like the same information. But because the medium is different, it will make a different kind of impact on you.
Well, the only time I was listening to an audiobook after kind of reading the paper version was because I couldn't reach the finish line of the paper version because I wouldn't have time for that. So I would just get the audio and just read it entirely.
But I think you read David Allen's Getting Things Done like in four languages.
That's true. Getting Things Done is it's a totally, I read it in several languages. So yeah. And then I heard it, I think, twice or three times. So yeah, this is total outlier.
Yes. So anyway, I think we should share some concrete examples. That helps.
Yeah. So like one of the basic examples of something that like clicked immediately, of a book that, and this book we haven't mentioned on this show, was like the I was primed to this idea of essentialism, minimalism, but like, essentialism is a different thing, but minimalism. So minimalism, have less, you know, fewer things. I watched the minimalism movie by these guys. so I was really primed to this whole idea. I was trying to have fewer clothes. It was an idea that has been, you know, in my mind for a while now. And then I read this short book by Marie Kondo, The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying, right? So yeah. And she's like very like old, like she's very, very popular in the States now and everything. So my wife told me about the book and she said that we should totally read it. And we got the paper copy, but of course I got the audiobook and I got through audiobook first, as usual. And this was like this book was just amazing. After like, this book was just perfect timing for me. And like all these, you know, I've been primed to this idea of how to, you know, have less and declutter and things like that. And then she would just give me just perfect examples of how to do it, perfect recipes for things to do. And immediately after I've read the book, I applied them in my life. I redecorated, redesigned my wardrobe, made it, you know, better, fewer things, just things I love, and you know, just joy, because she says that, you know, you should only keep things that really make give you joy,
make you happy.
Yeah. So totally. And now I went here to my home office and I did the same thing. I haven't finished. I did the first sweep and it was just amazing that this short book, like, it had exactly the ideas that I was just ready for them, but I just got them at the right moment and now I just applied them immediately and I feel the benefit of these ideas from this book immediately. And they are so compatible with my life now. I mean, and with this, you know, my whole concept of minimalism and things like that. So it just works perfectly with my, you know, mindset. So this was like a book that just was just a bullseye.
Nice. One example from me would be deep work. So all the basics we mentioned, I took notes while I was reading it. I compiled a note. I posted it on my website. We discussed this on the show. So again, like I engaged with the ideas a lot. But then the one key thing I did is, so I have this spreadsheet, which we'll discuss at some point, where I like put lots of data, such as like my weight every single day. And I added a column to it where I would track my deep work, right? So it's like, okay, I can think of deep work, but it's difficult to hold yourself accountable if you don't have the data. So I made a way to track that data. And every day I would put how many hours approximately I spend in the state of deep work. And then every week during my week review, I can review that. So I have like concrete measurable information that I can use to guide my decisions. And because it's there and it's part of the weekly process, it's not just something I read, but something I engage in weekly. And so I can tweak my behavior based on that.
We should totally discuss your spreadsheet thing. I mean,
I know.
I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, this is so good. So you showed me a part of your spreadsheet, so to inspire me to do mine. And I had like a kind of spreadsheet for my, because I wanted to apply things from 4DX, so 4 disciplines of execution that we also discussed on the show, with lag measures and lead measures. And it's very well connected with what you just said with deep work. So if you can, you know, control how many hours you spend on deep work, then the lag measure, so like the outcome, might be different. But if you don't, but you don't control the lag measure, so the output, you control the input, like what you put there. So I did it in an awkward way. Thanks to your spreadsheet and spreadsheet idea, I started tracking it my way. My way. So I did my own spreadsheet, also with more detailed information and daily, you know, daily data. And man, after a week, it's already, I love this thing, man. I just love it. And it shows me. And as you said, it shows me how many hours I really worked, you know? And yeah, my wife the other day, she looked at it because I wanted to show her how this works. And she was like, oh, so this day you only worked like 4 hours or 5 hours. I want to work like that, you know? I'm like, no, it was a bad day. I only worked 5 hours, you know, of deep work. I mean, the rest were just, you know, bullshit hours, right? So it's not like I didn't spend 8 hours at work or more. Like, I just noted what I really, you know, worked on, you know? And she was like, so that's the key. So I said, you know, this is the idea. The idea is that I want to track this. I want to review this every week. And yeah, and so this thing, so for me, I also do the lag measures, so the measures of our performance. So I have a few of these. Every week when I do my weekly review, I update them. So the sales we had last week, you know, how many new customers, how many new users, like all these things, how many new podcast listeners. Thank you very much. So all these things I write down to just see how I go. And this way, it's easier for me to control what's happening and to see what's happening and to hopefully influence my goals and impact my goals and be better. Also, you know, taking like really taking ideas from the 4DX book, so Four Disciplines of Execution.
That was a good teaser. Yeah, so we'll definitely get back to this subject.
Yep.
And also mentioning 4DX, it's funny because you read that book before, but for me, the book Deep Work mentioned the ideas from Four Disciplines of Execution and suggested the exact, like, how to implement this in your life. So, like, just the book itself also gave you suggestions about how to make it actionable. And you mentioned priming, and, like, because I read that, I read Four Disciplines of Execution, right? Or I read So Good They Can't Ignore You, another book from the author of Deep Work, which is why I read Deep Work and I liked it. And it primed me for many of the ideas I got from the book Peak, which were very important. And we also discussed them. And I see this pattern in my reading history all the time, that there's sometimes connections which are not obvious because I don't always read books on a similar subject one after another. It's sometimes like I read about something in one book and it doesn't quite click. Like that's what I mentioned. I wasn't looking for the answer and it gave me one, but I wasn't ready for it. But it still primed me to want the answer. And at some other points in the future, I saw another book which expanded on that. And because I was primed, I was interested and wanted to learn more. And because of that, I did learn more. So that's another part of why reading many books is important.
Yeah, I mean, just the connections, for example, that the books originals, How to Fly a Horse and Peak make, like all these things, like, yeah,
they're all connected.
They are very well connected, and they prepare you, for example, for the peak. You know, for like they I mean, for me, it was like it was this was how I read them, and Peak, as we mentioned in the last episode, I mean, one of the last episodes, was the book that structured the way I'm going to approach this year. I mean, I've totally changed the way I approach several things, and not only, you know, like goals and the acquiring new skills and all these things. Because again, I was primed to that. I already was doing something right there, you know. I was already learning something there. But this book really put it. I gave it a name, you know, and put more structure into this. And now when I think about this, I take it all into account. So really for me, like the book Peak was a great example of how it pretty radically changed the way I approach things, although I was already on the right path, but not just yet.
Yeah, exactly. I see it all the time. For me, another example of this priming would be with ideas from Stoicism, actually. I know DHH talked a lot about it on multiple like podcasts and stuff, and so that sounded always interesting to me. And then quite recently, we both read this book, Ego is the Enemy, mm-hmm. and it made a lot of references to that. And then after your recommendation, I read the provocatively titled The Subtle Art of Not Giving a F**k,
yep.
which had a lot of that. And now, somewhere in my long queue in Audible, there's this other book, which DHH also recommended, called A Guide to the Good Life, The Ancient Art of Stoic Joy. And I'm interested in it, right? And before I wouldn't be, but it just, the ideas from other books, which were like about something slightly else or were not as deep on the subject, but they give me an interest in this. And so I want to read it now.
Yeah, I mean the books you just mentioned, The Subtle Art and the other ones. Also, like these are the books that maybe not, they don't give you like tangible advice what to do now, but as you said, they prime you for some, you know, for a little bit different mindset, for a little bit different approach to life. And
yeah,
and this is, this kind of, these are the things that won't, you know, won't be there yet. They are being developed, and you know, they will take time, because your approach to life, you know, is pretty, you know, it's from your experience of, you know, having lived here for quite a while now. So it will take time to change, but they already altered this, and they change it. So I see that by reading these books, that I've already changed a little bit, but it's still a subtle change. It's still, you know, But it's priming me to do some like my mind to approach things a little bit differently.
I'm actually glad you're mentioning it, because that's the kind of book which is difficult to learn from. So we're talking about leaping from reading to doing, and sometimes it's straightforward. Sometimes it's a bit more difficult. But with a book like Ego is the Enemy, there's some real like serious life advice or philosophy in there, but it's not actionable in the same way as, I don't know, me reading a book about finance, you know, personal finance, is that I can make a, you know, oh, do this, do that, like, you can't do that. And so here I would say it's particularly important to take notes, mm-hmm. and to review them regularly,
yes.
and to make stuff like that a part of your week review routine. Or at least, you know, during your quarterly review, for example, to take a look at things like that and you know, make space for the introspection and think, is there something to it that I thought then that I should learn from but didn't, right? Because day to day, those are not, because they're not just tasks, they're not immediately actionable. It's very easy to forget about those things and just let them slide.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's why one of these books was Essentialism. That's, you know, Essentialism tells you to to do less but better. But it's not really a tangible advice. I mean, less. What do you mean?
No, here? it's a manifesto.
It's a manifesto. It's an approach to life. It's an attitude, you know. And you cannot develop an attitude, you know, on one reading and just, you know, make a quick to-do list and just fix it up, you know. You need time to digest. That's why I'm approaching this book right now the third time. So another book like that was The One Thing, which was also for me very cool, because the premise of the book, you know, was the one thing that you could make today that would make other things easy or
easier or unnecessary.
Unnecessary, exactly. Easier or unnecessary. Yes. So for me, just this phrase is just, you know, mind blowing. It's really deep. But then again, for example, there's another book that I recommended to you, which is totally actionable, which was like Sleep Smarter. And
oh yeah. I haven't read it yet.
So Sleep Smarter is like this book that combines a few pieces of advice that we have read in other books, like how to get fat, how we get fat.
That's nice.
Come on. Seriously. Come on.
You don't have to learn that.
All right.
Everyone knows how to get fat.
Yeah. I always make the same mistake. So...
We shouldn't have made that joke back then.
Yeah. So anyway, the book Sleep Smarter combines advice from how we get fat and from other health, you know, and health books and other books. And especially now that after having a newborn, I was pretty sleep deprived for a while. It really helped me understand how I should mind my sleeping, how I should change some things. And it was another book that immediately... After I read it, I just, when I was writing down the notes, I already knew what I should fix, how to fix things better, how to make things better, and redesigned my both morning ritual, the way I drink coffee, the way I sleep, how I go to sleep, my evening ritual, all these things, and it was really, really helpful, and it just compiled all this advice from these different books, again, that primed me for that, and just to put them... into action, because the sensation of guilt after reading this book was just unbearable.